Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. This life study is the basis of our program today, which includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's life study.
Many great apostles contributed to the New Testament, John, James, Peter, and Matthew, as well as others. But the bulk of the New Testament came through the Apostle Paul. The epistles of Paul, in many ways, formed the kernel of the New Testament, and it was through Paul also that the church was spread throughout much of the civilized world during New Testament times. Yet at the end of this book, perhaps his highest work, Ephesians, this great apostle, commissioned with the divine revelation, in a very touching and intimate conclusion to his letter to the church in Ephesus, shows how much he valued not his own strength or vision or gift, but taking his place as a living member in full coordination with the body. And he asks for their prayers and petitions concerning him. Very touching fellowship today, and Dick Taylor is here to enjoy it with us. Dick, welcome back.
Thank you, Chris, and I really appreciate what you said. Paul was taking his place as a living member in full coordination with the body. So no matter how wonderful we are, how much the Lord uses us, we need all the other members, and we need the flow of life between all the members. Just like any member of your physical body, no matter how big it is or how small it is, we all need the flow of the same blood.
You know, Dick, I want to read this passage now in chapter 6, and one thing that's very striking, particularly in light of the fellowship that we've had through this life study where we've come to chapter 6 and these matters of concerning the spiritual warfare, the 6 items of the whole armor of God and putting them on and how much they're linked to the matter of prayer.
Amen.
But as we mentioned repeatedly through these messages on the warfare, the key factor and really something that Watchman Nee discovered and opened up, I think, to the whole body of Christ, and certainly Witness Lee in his ministry echoes that again and again, and that is that you can't separate spiritual warfare from the context of the body, the corporate aspect of the warrior here. And I think you really see that when we consider how Paul now asks for these prayers concerning him, attached almost to the fellowship on the whole armor. Let's look at these verses, chapter 6 again, verses 18 through 20. By means of all prayer and petition, praying at every time in spirit, and watching unto this in all perseverance and petition concerning all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known in boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in a chain, that in it I would speak boldly as I ought to speak. Dick, this is really precious, isn't it, that the mighty Apostle Paul makes such a request of the church in Ephesus to pray for him, and specifically that he would be given boldness to speak the mystery of the gospel. A lot implied here, isn't there?
Surely is, Chris. And the main thing is that we can see Paul was Christ-centered and very body-conscious.
Yes.
This really shows how much he treasured the body, and that even his boldness in his speaking was related to his relationship with the body. Our boldness is really related to being properly related to the body. And I appreciate so much, Chris, that Paul was not here living an independent, individualistic Christian life. He was living a life in the body and in the fellowship of the body in oneness with Christ the head.
It also really underscores that apart from our stand in the body, in the matter of spiritual warfare, we just very, very likely will not prevail. Individually, will we?
We will not. And all that Christ is as the armor is to the body. So we need to stay in the fellowship of the body. Praise the Lord for our wonderful brother, who on one hand is a mighty apostle, on the other hand, just a simple member in the body of Christ.
Well, the first section today that we're going to hear from Witness Lee, I think, underscores this point again very much. And if you continue the passage in Ephesians chapter 6, now right at the end of the book, he continues and says, but that you also may know the things concerning me, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all these things known to you. Him I have sent to you for this very thing, that you may know the things concerning us, and that he may comfort your hearts. So here's the apostle. He sends a dear brother, Tychicus, beloved, he said, and faithful, to make known the things concerning Paul. He wanted the saints in Ephesus to know how he was doing and what his situation was. Quite a window here into how the apostle lived and operated. Let's join Witness Lee.
In this conclusion, the apostle Paul set up a good pattern. He asked the believers of the church to pray for him. Then, as an apostle, purposely, he sent one to bring all the informations concerning him to the saints and to comfort them. This is a sweet thing. This is a beautiful thing. Tychicus was only sent, not for a big work, not for a great thing, right? Just for what? For bringing some news. We would think that's not worthwhile. I don't think worthwhile to do it. But you have to see, this was written in the Word. Don't think this is a small thing. Today, even such loving concern between the apostles and the churches should also be recovered. Not for the purpose of any work, just for the purpose of fellowship. By that time, they couldn't send any cable, even to mail something, it was hard. You see, Tychicus was sent with this letter. And this letter was brought over from Rome, Italy, to Ephesus, Asia Minor, by this messenger. Tychicus actually was just a messenger to send this epistle. Here, Paul, he mentioned something concerning Tychicus. He said, this is a beloved brother, and he is a faithful minister, a faithful messenger. You cannot see big work here, but surely you have to realize what a sweet fellowship, what a sweet concern is revealed here.
Dick, let's spend just a minute here talking about the kind of church life that these saints were experiencing. The Apostle Paul, of course, wrote the book of Ephesians from prison in Rome, so he was not able to come personally to the saints there. But he sends his letter and he puts all of this down, all of this high revelation on paper where it could be shared with the other churches. But he wants it to be accompanied by this one brother bearing a testimony and a report about how Paul was doing. So there's something very intimate and very sweet here implied.
There really is, Chris. You know, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 12:24, which says, God has blended the body.
Uh-huh.
I appreciate that. He didn't just write a doctrine. This was his practice. So even in sending Tychicus, he was really practicing the blending. Even in the realm of not doing a big work, but just expressing a loving concern and maintaining the fellowship. Again, it shows that he did not live an independent, individualistic Christian life, but he lived a Christian life that was really Christ-centered and body-conscious. So I like the word Brother Lee used, don't you, Chris, which is sweet.
Yes.
These verses just taste sweet.
Yeah.
Because this intimacy there, it's not like doing a big thing. It's just like really, really caring for one another for the sake of the Lord's interests. And I appreciate so much. Another word that our brother used was beautiful. This is really, really beautiful. And considering the whole situation, Chris, I'm touched with the principle again that according to Psalm 133, the Lord only releases the commanded blessing of life upon the genuine oneness. Paul, by sending Tychicus, was practicing the oneness of the body, not only to pass on fellowship from him, but also to pick up fellowship from them. And in this way, he was enjoying the commanded blessing of Christ dispensing himself as everything to them. So if we really want the blessing of life, even the blessing of the genuine increase of the body of Christ, then we really need to practice this oneness like Paul did. So this is a tremendous example. May we learn from this pattern and be those who are governed by this kind of vision, to be Christ-centered and body-conscious, and particularly care for the body through the intimate fellowship.
It does show exactly that, this care that Paul was demonstrating. Of course, he had all of the teaching incorporated into the text of the letter. So his role or his function as the apostle certainly was to teach. But much more than that is this intimacy, this care that you see. And apparently it was also important enough to the triune God to include it in the divine record and not just Paul. As he said, there's not an account here of this brother Tychicus doing a great work, but in our understanding of great work. But to God, this kind of care in the body is a great thing, isn't it?
Really, how wonderful that the Lord put this in the Word for us to learn from, so that we could see that this is what's really on his heart, this loving concern for one another, which is just himself flowing among us.
Well, Dick, you've talked about what a blessing this was, and that's interesting because the very next couple of verses bring us into the apostle's blessing to the saints in Ephesus at the conclusion of the book. Verse 23 goes on, "Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
"Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in incorruptibility."
Amen.
Love and faith, Dick, key elements of the blessing from the apostle.
Amen.
Let's join Witness Lee again.
Now, we come to the blessing. This book opens with grace. The enjoyment of the Lord as everything to us is the very grace. And eventually, this epistle brings the readers into peace. We are going with peace. While we are going on, we still need grace. This is from grace to grace. Now, why love is inserted? Why? Listen to this. This phrase in love has been used at least six times. You see? In Revelation, the church at Ephesus did a lot of good works, yet the Lord rebuked her, because she lost her first love. The problem there with the church at Ephesus was not the short of work, was not the short of knowledge, but they were short in love. So the Apostle Paul here, between these two major things in his concluding blessing, he inserted this one vital point. That is love. Love between peace and grace. We need the love. And here, not our love, but love from God the Father and the Lord Jesus to us. This is not our love. But in the next verse, it says what? All those who love. Firstly, God's love to us. Eventually, God's love becomes our love to him. We have to live in the Lord's presence. We need to stay, to remain, to live in the intimacy of God's presence. That means love coming to us. Love comes to us by our staying in God's intimate presence. When this love comes, this love will go back. This love becomes our love to the Lord. It is by this traffic of this love that this situation of peace will be maintained and we will be kept in the enjoyment of his grace.
Dick, in these last two verses of Ephesians, there's an obvious blessing here, beginning with peace and consummating with grace. Yet, this divine insertion between the two, love. Let's talk about this inserted love here and how it relates to the peace and the grace that Paul is really presenting them with.
It's really precious to see how this love is inserted between peace and grace. And this is to show us that to really maintain peace and to really keep yourself in the grace of God, we need to be those who remain intimately in His presence and in His intimate presence. As we remain in His intimate presence, then He flows to us as love.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a response within us as love back to Him. This just shows us that the main thing here is that we would remain day by day in the intimacy of His dear, sweet presence. That means, Chris, practically, and I hope all of you who are listening would practice this, many times a day we need to just stop and just say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, I love You." If we would maintain our love and our opening to Him and remain in the intimacy of His presence, then He flows into us as love. We respond back to Him in love. And this keeps us in the condition of peace and maintains our enjoyment of Him as grace. So the secret here is really love inserted in such a precious way. And I was just thinking, if any of you have not received the recovery version of the New Testament, I hope you would get one, because our brother refers to Revelation 2:4.
Yeah.
This shows us that Ephesus, although they had many good works and they'd done many good things, one thing was against them. They had left their first love.
Yeah.
And this is very, very critical. If you read the recovery version with a footnote, you'll find a sentence in there that says, "Nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with the Lord." This tells us clearly why love is inserted between peace and grace.
Mm.
Nothing but love can keep us in peace and also maintain our enjoyment as grace. So may we just love the Lord and remain in the intimacy of His presence every day.
Wonderful. That is very sweet and beautiful fellowship also on this matter of love, Dick.
Amen.
That is a classic footnote, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah, in Revelation 2, verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to continue in this final segment, Dick, and see that this love isn't singular or doesn't come alone, but it's accompanied with faith, love with faith.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 6, the final verses says, "Love with faith from God." Interesting, the Apostle Paul uses a similar phrase in another of his epistles, 1 Timothy, "And the grace of our Lord superabounded with faith and love in Christ Jesus." So there must be a connection here between faith and love that we need to see.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now, look at the way the Apostle Paul composed. He says, "And love with faith." Love with faith. This is not for salvation. This is for continuation. For fellowship. If you don't have faith, if you don't believe, you take in a lot of questions, you lose your faith, you miss your faith, then it is hard for you to love the Lord. When your faith is shaken, when your faith is damaged, your love is reduced. So, for you to love the Lord, to have a good continuation in the fellowship with Him, you need to believe. I mentioned already, love in this verse is from God, is God's love. Faith is not from God. Faith is from us, on our side. Love is on God's side. Faith is of us, on our side. Even here, this little phrase, love with faith, implies a kind of traffic. Love from God to us, and faith from us to God. See, God gives us love, then we respond with what? With faith. So, love coming, faith going. And here is a traffic between love and faith. This is what we need. In between the peace and grace, we need such a traffic. How could we be kept in such a situation of peace? By God's love coming to us and by our faith going to Him. By such a traffic of love and faith going back and forth between God and us, the situation of peace will be maintained, will be kept. Then grace will continue. So eventually, The Apostle Paul says, grace be with you.
Amen.
It's wonderful. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We all will say the same thing.
Amen.
Peace and love with faith and grace be from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ to all of us.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah for peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah for love with faith.
Amen.
And hallelujah for grace.
Hallelujah for peace, Dick.
Hallelujah, Chris.
Hallelujah for love with faith, Dick.
Amen. Hallelujah, Chris.
And hallelujah for grace.
Hallelujah for grace.
Talk about this divine traffic in this final portion.
This is very good. I think the word we have to stress at this point, Chris, is traffic, traffic, traffic.
Traffic.
In fact, every question you've asked me, really, it comes down to traffic.
Yeah.
Paul sending Tychicus to Ephesus
Wonderful.
Was
yeah.
just a matter of traffic. And then love inserted between peace and grace is just a matter of traffic. Love in that sense related to the fact that we don't have any love in ourselves, but as God's love flows to us, by us remaining in the intimacy of his presence, then love flows back through us to him
uh-huh.
and to the other members of the body. What is that?
That's traffic.
And then here we see love with faith, indicating another kind of traffic in a sense that love is really from God and faith is our response, our believing in him. I was appreciating, Chris, that God's economy in 1 Timothy 1:4 is in faith.
Yeah.
So we need to practice, to be exercised in our spirit to believe. If faith is leaking away, then our love is reduced, as our brother mentioned. So we need to maintain this traffic of faith and love, taking care of faith, that faith is not damaged, because otherwise our love is reduced. On the other hand, keeping ourselves wide open to love, that he can flow himself into us and causing us to even be those who are filled more with faith. It's hard to separate these two.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because both of them are from him.
Right.
Without him, I don't have a drop of faith.
Exactly.
Without him, I don't have a drop of love. On the other hand, love is coming from him, and faith is our responding back to him. So I just appreciate this so much. Like in Thessalonians, it talks about the breastplate of faith and love. You know, breast means something soft related to us in a tender way loving the Lord. Plate is something hard. These two go together. What is hard? We need the faith. We believe in Christ. We believe in all the divine facts of the truth, and this allows us to remain in a soft, tender, precious, intimate relationship with him in love. So hallelujah for the breastplate of faith
and love.
And so I like the way this ended, don't you, Chris? Hallelujah for peace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah for life. Hallelujah for love with faith.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah for grace.
Hallelujah, Dick.
So to all who are listening, grace be with you.
Well, that's the conclusion of this book. It's not the conclusion of the life study. It ends in such a sweet way that I'm glad we haven't come to the end. We're going to come back through and pick up several more points that are worthy of a second visit and a little more development as we have gone through this book now. This being our 59th program in Ephesians.
Mm.
We're not quite sure how many we have to go, probably 20 more, something like that. But we'll come back tomorrow and have more fellowship. Before we leave, let's give you our toll-free number. We hope you'll contact us. We'd love to hear from you. It's 888-543-3788. That's 888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. And our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or our email address, radio@lsm.org. Join us again tomorrow. We're going to sort of begin our revisit to some of the high points. And I think we'll have a very fresh life study for you tomorrow. Be with us then. For Dick Taylor today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thanks very much for listening. Thank you.
In both the first and last book of the Bible, God presents himself to man as the tree of life. Throughout the Bible, God is portrayed as food for man to eat and life for man to enjoy. In the Tree of Life, Witness Lee presents a view of God's heart that is little understood and seldom experienced by Christians today, revealing that it is God's desire that we receive Christ, experience Christ, and enjoy Christ as our moment-by-moment supply. The Tree of Life from Living Stream Ministry is available at Christian bookstores everywhere.